Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the Lifestyle CEO Show. I'm your host, Donna Maria, the original Lifestyle CEO, and we are here at the one place where you can be empowered to break all the rules, build your own corporate ladder, and create the life you love. Today is Monday. We had a really long weekend here in Washington, D.C., but the weather has been fabulous, and I'm excited to say I'm really energized this morning. I got a chance to spend some time doing one of my favorite things this morning. I was getting ready for the show. I went and had coffee and read some newspapers, and you guys know how I love to do that because I'm always looking for inspirational stories about people who are doing things off the beaten path. I got to tell you guys, there is something to this, following your passion and creating the life you love. I saw the Washington Post this morning and USA Today, and there are no less than five separate situations where people left sort of status quo or maybe a job that they hated and started to pursue their dreams. Okay, in the life story about a ventriloquist and an auto harpist. I'm not sure. Anyway, there's a quote there that says, never underestimate the power of a crazy to inspire a dream. And I know many of you out there can relate to that. There's another story in the USA Today about a suburban mom, a 44-year-old woman, who saw sort of a dearth in the marketplace of paint colors that she liked. And so she created a line of paint colors inspired by tropical themes, and today she's generating $10 million in annual revenue selling paint. How cool is that? Then there's this other story in the Washington Post, which is more local. It's obviously a nationwide newspaper, but there's a local story on the front page about a woman and her husband who in 1972 opened a daycare service in suburban Washington, D.C., in the place around Dale City, Virginia, for those of you who might be local. In 1972, they opened this daycare service really for one reason. Well, two. They needed money, and they wanted to be home with their child, who was a toddler at the time. And so they opened this daycare service, and of course, you know, as many suburban areas have done, there's lots of growth. And today, they gross $50 million in annual revenue and employ 1,300 people from the community in their chain of daycare centers. So I just, you know, I always like to start off the show by sharing stories that can let everybody know that nothing is impossible. And I got to tell you, we have got a guest today who knows that firsthand. And this is a man who has had a dream and a passion all his life for certain things. And as his life evolved, he found opportunities and he seized upon just one or two of them. And today he is just bouncing off the walls with energy and activity and promise. I am so excited to introduce you to my guest today. His name is Warren Brown. He is the host of the popular television show on the Food Network called The Sugar Rush, which is a great place to go and learn about sugar rushes, if without getting any of the caloric problems associated with them. And he also, I think he's writing a new book, and he's also got three stores actually in the D.C. area. Cake Love is his flagship in Washington, D.C., a newly opened one in Silver Spring, and a Love Cafe also in Washington, D.C. And we're going to hear from him about his rise from where he was to where he is today, and he's going to inspire and encourage us. Warren Brown of the Food Network's Sugar Rush and Cake Love, welcome to the show today.
Thank you, Donna. How are you?
I'm doing great. The weather here is fabulous. It's going to be 85 degrees or something like that today.
Global warming.
Yeah, so I'm hoping that means that a lot of folks are going to be out there on that patio at Cake Love enjoying the afternoon. Warren, I'm really excited to have you today. And, you know, I spent a lot of time, of course, I spent some time at your store this weekend, too, having some goodies, and we'll talk about that later. But I spent a lot of time, too, at your website and also at the Food Network's website, reading a lot about your story. And I just would like to ask you if you could share sort of a little bit about your background and how you came to think that you could sell cakes and make a living at it.
Sure. Well, thanks for having me on the show, first of all.
Oh, you're welcome.
Glad to be here. And I really enjoy telling people how I started and what's going on with what I do, because I think it's really possible for anyone to fulfill what they believe their dreams are or their destiny. And I say that almost lightly because it feels so possible, you know, for me, where I'm standing right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I was a kid, I used to see people come in and talk to, student groups I was in or community groups I was involved in. They'd always come through and say, you can be whatever you want to be. And all the kids would be like, I want to be a fireman and I want to be whatever. Well, I never said I want to be a baker. I know that.
Is that what you said?
No, I never did.
Oh, okay.
I never even thought about it. It's strange. And I never thought about being a business owner either.
Mm-hmm.
I think the most I would have thought at the time would be I want to be a doctor because my dad was a doctor.
Mm-hmm.
But that was just kind of an automatic response, you know, without much of my own individual thought put into it.
Right.
Well, I think that, you know, when I say anyone can be what they want to be, I believe that, but it takes time to get there.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes a lot of personal reflection, and it's not easy to know if you're really there,
mm-hmm.
you know, even once you begin. Like, I love having started being a baker, and
mm-hmm.
now I'm really more of a entrepreneur, business owner who's trying to take the business to different directions and, you know, up and beyond where we are.
Mm-hmm.
In the future, I want to continue to grow Cake Love, but I hope that there's more in my life that's ahead of me than
mm-hmm.
strictly just building the Cake Love brand.
Yeah, you know, that's so interesting because what you're describing a whole lot of things, and one thing that stands out to me is how you kind of take one step at a time and the doors just kind of open for you. If you never thought you'd be a baker, then you certainly never thought you'd own a store where baked goods are sold, and you never maybe thought you'd be the host of a television show, and then the list will continue beyond all that.
Yeah.
And I want to read, if I could, a little bit of your story from your website, just a couple sentences here. This is where you're sort of describing your passion. There's a page at your website at cakelove.com that talks about this, and it says you were at the time when you were reflecting on this, you had been working at a summer internship at law school, and it says that you eventually left the position, but you drew a self-portrait, and it says one of your drawings was a self-portrait, a young man with an ashen gray face, blue lips, reddened eyes, and wilting hair. Bleak and miserable for sure, drawing this image was clear and convincing evidence that something was terribly wrong. And the next day,
yeah.
I read a statistic in USA Today a couple of weeks ago that well over 40% of Americans are not happy with their jobs. They're not happy with their jobs, whatever it is they're doing. And so that's a whole lot of people out there, and maybe your story and your decision to actually take a step back and reflect on your life can help some people understand that you don't have to be stuck in some place that you don't like.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I hope it's that little 40%. I would suspect it's actually a little higher than that.
Mm-hmm.
That aren't happy at their job. And I mean, I'm very happy to serve as someone who took an alternative path, completely mm-hmm. risky, and it works over time or with time.
Mm-hmm.
And, there's a lot of things that went on to get me where I am. You know, I had to make a very tight plan. I would say a tight plan, but, you know, when it comes down to it, I just knew that I wanted to start making cakes. I believed that if I did, then things would fall into place. I knew that, when you're making a plan to build a business, like, there's a certain point where you have to stop planning and just start doing.
Mm-hmm.
And because you can sit there and try to guesstimate how much your cash flow is going to be and
mm-hmm.
how you're going to get your customers and whether or not your marketing plan is going to work. I mean, a business plan is really, when it comes down to it, if you've never done the business before, you're really guesstimating everything.
Mm-hmm.
You have to make very educated guesses.
Right.
Which just means lots and lots of research until you start seeing repeat patterns and stuff.
Right. I want to talk a little bit about, too, we're going to go to our first break. I want to ask you a couple of questions about, like, once you, as a full-time career person, when you had your full-time job, what was it that sort of got you to the point where you decided to take the risk that you're describing? Because I know a lot of listeners to this show are at that point. They have a job, whether they're quote-unquote happy with it or not, they have a passion for something else, and they feel strongly that they're being kind of led to make some kind of career move out of it. We're going to talk about that a little bit when we come back, Warren.
Okay.
For all of you listening out there, you can call in and talk to Warren and ask him your questions yourself. Our toll-free number is 800-773-0355. This is the Lifestyle CEO Show, and we'll be right back.
Why is everyone listening to GlobalTalkRadio.com? Because it's the future of talk radio. Every day, more and more people are finding internet radio as not just an alternative media, but as a replacement to traditional AM and FM broadcast stations. Internet radio offers a wider variety of programs, convenient on-demand listening that meets your schedule, and fewer commercial interruptions. And GlobalTalkRadio.com is already leading the way by matching this content with a highly targeted internet audience. GlobalTalkRadio.com offers its listeners one of the widest programming varieties on the internet, from business and finance to self-improvement, paranormal, health, literature, romance, politics, and more. There are also opportunities for prospective hosts who would like to host their own weekly or one-time talk shows. Want to learn more? Check us out at www.globaltalkradio.com and see the future of talk radio today.
Hello, everyone. This is Donna Maria. Welcome back to the Lifestyle CEO Show. We are here with the host of the Food Network, Sugar Rush, and the owner of Cake Love and Love Cafe, bakeries and diners in Washington, D.C., and suburban Washington, D.C. as well. And when we left off, Warren, we were talking a little bit about sort of pursuing a passion in a more general sense, but I'd like to take listeners back to that point in time when you actually did have a full-time job working as an attorney. You had finished law school, so we've moved on from the self-portrait internship time. You're actually working full-time and baking cakes part-time. What was that like for you?
Tiring. Very,
okay.
Very exhausting.
Go ahead.
It was hard because I was basically working two jobs. Being a lawyer during the day, I'd come home by 6:30. I'd change and be baking and have the first batch of batter in the oven within 20 minutes. And I would continue to bake for no less than 3 hours and usually like 6 hours. I have to bake and then, you know, clean up, box the cake, get it ready for delivery that's going to be the next day. And I had to be out my door if I had deliveries by 7 o'clock the next day. It was very difficult.
So you were working full-time, regular, like 9-ish to 5-ish hours,
mm-hmm.
coming home, baking cakes, and then getting up in the morning, and you were doing all this delivering yourself?
Yeah.
So you were responsible for ordering, making, delivering, customer contact, all that stuff?
One-man operation. Totally. It was very, very hard.
And so what was it, was there a point in time when you went, okay, wait a minute, let's you know, take stock here and I'm not getting any sleep. Did anything happen to sort of make you say, okay, this is it, it's time to leave and pursue one or the other?
Yeah, I had to go to the emergency room for what the doctor diagnosed as exhaustion. That's what happened to me.
And I guess that doesn't sound surprising considering what you just said.
Yeah, well, I guess I thought that I was stronger than I was. And I have more energy than I did.
Mm.
But
yeah, youth will make us think that, I guess.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
Yeah,
now, when you had your full-time job, Warren, did you have to travel at all for your job? Or what would you do if there was like a late staff meeting or some urgent thing happened in the office and you had some cakes due the next day?
Well, here's one thing. We had a staff retreat that was in West Virginia. And it was like a 2 day, it was a one night overnight or two nights overnight, I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm.
But I got a call message for some cakes that they wanted on Friday. And I would be returning to town on Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, oh, wow, I don't want to pass this up because the person wanted like, I think it was 3 cakes they were ordering.
Mm-hmm.
For me, back then, that was a huge order, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And that was something I should not pass up. It was for someone that was on Capitol Hill, so I was extra excited about that.
Mm-hmm.
And they just sounded really excited, you know, to get the product, too.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know them, so it was like, just a referral that was out there in the world. So this, to me, was something I could not pass up.
Right.
I called them back. I made arrangements to deliver the cake the next day. And, of course, the order they wanted was some of the most complicated cakes I had.
Of course.
Somehow I had to leave on Thursday, drive basically three and a half hours back to D.C. I went to the store on the way in, came back, and made the cakes. But I also had to go out that night because my friend was having a bachelor party, and he was getting married on that weekend.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I missed the dinner for the bachelor party. I got to the drinks afterwards, so I didn't arrive at the scene until, like, I don't know, 10:30 or so. And, you know, of course, we're out late, and I got home, like, around 1 or so.
And this is Thursday night, Friday morning.
Thursday night, Friday morning. I wake up the next day. I deliver cakes to this person. Really nice, very very friendly. Things worked out well with the cakes. But, you know, then through the rest of the weekend, I went to the wedding and tried to get some sleep, but still have more cakes to make. And that following Tuesday is when I woke up in the middle of the night, and nothing seemed right. I was already sleeping, but I went back to bed, and I just kind of felt somewhat nauseous and just so tired that I just couldn't understand what was going on. Called my folks. I'm lying in the kitchen, spread eagle on the floor, because I was afraid I was going to fall over. And they said, you got to go to the hospital. It doesn't sound good at all. They live in Ohio, and I'm in Washington, D.C. when this is happening. So they weren't really able to help me, but I called my dad because he's a pathologist, and I thought he'd be able to give me some advice. And when I got to the hospital that my neighbor drove me to very kindly, the doctor said, you're not 15 anymore.
Okay.
You got to slow down and get some rest and not do as much as you're doing. So when you asked me a bit ago, like, how... You know, what was the event or what happened to make me say, I've got to make a change, I've got to leave law to do cakes if I'm for real. This was really the event, you know. Within the next month, I had to travel for work again, and I ended up going to San Diego, taking a long walk on the beach with a friend of mine who lived there, and kind of went over the whole idea of, okay, how do I begin the plan for leaving practicing law? Like, what are the steps I need to do? We talked through it for a couple hours, and it was very helpful for me because it gave me an idea of what I need to do. And, you know, in terms of a memory, it's a very calming one because walking on the beach and stuff like that.
Yeah, Sandy, yeah, and it sounds like that was, you know, kind of like your business plan at the time anyway.
Yeah.
You were able to hash it out there.
Yeah, because, I mean, the plan for me is always, you know, identify what you want to do, figure out how you're going to do it, to do it.
Yeah.
Try to keep it real simple.
I love that. I love that advice. I call, I sort of have this thing I call, instead of a business plan, try and create something like a business action model. I call it a BAM, because it's like BAM, you know, you get your idea, you get some stuff in place, and you're on the scene. There you are. And it sounds very much like, this is what's so wonderful about what you're describing, is that your vision was well-defined in terms of your life and what kind of lifestyle you wanted to have, it sounds like. And you had thought about, you know, the cakes and making that something more full-time reality. And beyond that, it's like once you took that step, did stuff just start happening?
Yeah, it does. And that's the thing, the beautiful part behind it all. It's like, it, I don't know what it is. I'm not sure what faith this really kind of goes to. But I think I believe that when you start to do something that you love to do, people that can support you in your mission just start coming to you. People that you may not have known before, you know, or whatever it is, they're just there. And the key thing is just not being afraid and not being self-conscious that you would limit or screen or filter the information that you're saying. You know, I mean, you just got to start talking about what you're doing. People are out there who are doing similar things or... they've got businesses and services that can help or support or buy, you know, the products and services that someone in business is trying to do. So I think it helps a lot to just start talking about.
Yeah, and I guess you could do a lot more of that when you weren't spending 8 or 9 hours a day at your full-time gig.
Yeah, and the thing is like, of course, whenever you start talking to someone, opportunity comes up, you got to be able to follow up on it. you know?
Yeah.
And when you're busy doing other things, you just can't do it.
Can't do that. Yeah, and it's so great what you're describing, too. It's like when you're doing what you love, or maybe even what you were designed to do, or sort of like following a calling in life, then there's really no way, if you're doing that, that life is not going to present the opportunities to do that for you.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the opportunities are there. And that's the thing. It's like, I mean, there's a lot of such stuff happening for me now, and it's different than before, you know, because, like, the level or the intensity or something.
Mm-hmm.
But the frequency of things coming my way it has not really changed.
Okay.
You know? And it's the same, and people are saying the same things, and I guess that's one of the things that helps me believe that I'm staying true to my brand, staying true to my mission,
mm-hmm.
of
mm-hmm.
an effort to make scratch make cakes.
Yeah.
Because, you know, people are liking the product, and they're seeing that I'm passionate about what we're making.
Mm-hmm.
And I get easily excited. So
yeah, well, you know, and the thing is, too, I don't mean to harp on this, but what you've done is, as you described it, you know, other people are doing it in sort of other genres, but you were able to put yourself out there to the extent that your vision, you could actually visualize yourself.
Yeah.
And when the I mean, you're going to have a book.
Yeah.
You're going to have your own book, and not just any old book, but a book that talks about and infuses you and your audience into your passion and what you think is one of the coolest things about life.
Yeah. I mean, I really want to invite people into my world and into my head with this book so that they can understand what's the lunacy that leads to cakes from scratch, in my opinion. And it really, I say lunacy only, you know, in jest, but of course it's, there's some things that I do with making cakes that other people just don't do. And I've looked around a lot, whether it's through Sugar Rush or through just my direct observation and building my business. I've got some somewhat very traditional methods of production and some non-conventional methods of production, and sometimes they're blended. And
well, you know, I'm just really excited to, you know, just to hear you talk about the unfolding of all the promise and the future opportunities and what you'll be sharing with us as, you know, people out in the world, you know, wanting to figure out how to bake something nice. And I want to let everybody know that the name of that book is Taking the Mystery Out of Cakes from Scratch.
Right.
It'll be published in 2007. We're going to talk a little bit about that. We also have a caller, but we have to take a break. We're going to get to you, Shayla. Just hold on 1 second. We're going to take a little bit of a break. We'll be right back. This is the Lifestyle CEO Show. Don't touch that mouse. We're going to come right back.
Want to stay on top of what's new in the radio industry? Sign up for a free subscription to the Future of Talk Radio, available exclusively to listeners of globaltalkradio.com, and find out what's new in the world of online radio. Listeners can find out about new shows and special guests. People with something special to offer can find out how to become a guest and how to prepare for an interview. And prospective hosts will find a valuable resource for everything from planning their new program to selecting topics and guests, recouping expenses by selling advertising, and more. Sign up today for your free subscription to the Future of Talk Radio by visiting www.globaltalkradio.com and learn about the future of talk radio today.
Hello, everyone. This is Donna Maria. Welcome back to the Lifestyle CEO Show. We are here with the host of the Food Network, Sugar Rush, and the owner of Cake Love and Love Cafe Bakeries and diners in Washington, D.C., and suburban Washington, D.C. as well. And we've got a lot more questions to ask him. I know I do, but I'm going to go ahead and take a call. We've got Shayla in Maryland. Welcome to the show, Shayla. What's your question or comment for Warren?
Greetings, Donna. Greetings, Warren. How are you all doing today?
Great.
Good. Warren, well, I followed your store on U Street. I remember when it first came through, and I visited a few times. However, we don't have any vegan options in there.
No.
I was wondering, have you ever considered offering any vegan treats at all?
Yes, I have. We had some vegan things when we first opened the bakery for a short period of time. Just thereafter, another bakery opened up around the corner doing vegan things. And when I looked at it, it was selling, but we had to make such small batches that it wasn't becoming cost-effective for us to continue it.
Okay.
But the other problem that I have with it is that we don't... Back then when I was doing vegan, we were baking with using a vegetable shortening.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't like doing that because of the taste and flavor that it will give you.
Okay.
And just the fact that it's got trans fats, the hydrogenated vegetable oil.
Right.
Getting all the hydrogen in there so it becomes the shortening. I don't like that because of the free radicals that come off when you digest it, which can cause some problems.
Well, I share your passion for bacon also. I actually do bake, and I do the vegan cooking. I do vegan cookies.
Uh-huh.
And
oh,
I have
vegan
cookies.
So, Warren, tell me, what exactly?
No hydrogenated oils, and it does have a very similar taste because I also agree with your theory of having the homemade and classic flavors.
Right.
Without all of the other things included in them. And I would love if we can get together sometime to possibly taste what I have to offer.
Well, I'd love to see, to see your recipes. You say you're making just cookies?
Just cookies, yes.
Yeah. See, the problem is for cakes, we got to put in so much air.
Right.
We need something to absorb the air, or
exactly.
At least to catch the ingredients that can also catch air. And that's why, whether it's butter or vegetable shortening, or if you like using eggs and whipping that up to make like a sponge cake, those can be really good because they will capture the air when the sugar is pushing into it.
Right.
And
right.
With the oil or just the oil-based cake, there's ways to do it, but I can't get the aeration I'm looking for to make the cake have a texture that I feel is really important.
Thank you so much for your call, Shayla. I appreciate that. And Warren, this is so great to offer a sort of a small little lesson in cake baking. Can you share with me and others when you're talking about vegan, you have to use like an oil or something. And what's the difference with that?
Sure. What vegan baking is definitely possible, and there's a lot of good vegan bakeries that I've been to and I've seen. And I really do intend to offer a vegan alternative, but really it'll be in the future, and it would be under the guise of a bakery that's for special dietary considerations only.
Okay.
So, like, imagine Cake Love with whole. I mean, I just see it as like something with a lot of green labeling, and
mm-hmm.
we make vegan foods, we make diet special things, low fat, mm-hmm. low to no sugar things for diabetics, stuff like that.
What you're describing is another alternative, a door that you're going to actually decide to open up down the road. But is it really a texture thing? Like people come into Cake Love and they expect to see and experience a certain kind of texture. And are you saying it's difficult to get that with the ingredients that you have to use in
the
vegan products?
Well, for the vegan products and sugar-free, yeah. I've found that like a lot of people ask us to use some kind of sugar-free substitute,
mm-hmm.
and the ones that are out there, they don't withstand the heat sometimes in the oven,
mm-hmm.
or if they can withstand heat in the oven, they're really only suitable for certain types of goods that don't capture air,
mm-hmm.
like there's sucralose out there, which is under the brand name of, I don't know, I forget, it's in the yellow packet, but it's too soft. It's not hard like a sugar crystal, and the
uh-huh.
sugar crystal will penetrate butter or vegetable shortening,
uh-huh.
and in its wake comes the air, and that air going in gives you this light, fluffy mass that you're then going to pour in the flour and the milk, or I guess like apple juice and stuff like that if you're making a vegan type of cake.
Right.
So it's a delicate balance in making a cake batter.
It's so fascinating to hear, you know, you respond to that question and her questions, because one of the things that's becoming so clear in what you're describing, and of course every business owner has to figure this out, is that you can't be all things to all people.
Right. And I realized that earlier on, and I made a strategic decision that I'm not going to try to, you know, make a little bit of everything. I'm going to try to focus on just cake from scratch, using butter, using sugar. A lot of customers came in as well who aren't vegan or aren't looking for a sugar-free item, and they said, don't mess around. give me the stuff that I really want, you know.
I'm
in here, I'm off my diet. I decided that when I came here.
Uh-huh.
I'm not really interested in your other products.
Yeah, the name on the above the window pretty much points that out.
Yeah. So
that's such a great lesson too for anyone who's listening to understand that people will always come to you and say, you know, I see that you have these 10 fragrances or flavors and, you know, I want another one. And a lot of times what I see small businesses doing, and maybe you do as well, is they'll run out and they'll buy a canister or a gallon of that scent or that fragrance,
yeah.
And they'll make that one thing for that one person, then they'll have like a gallon of the rest of the stuff sitting there for the rest of the year.
Yeah. It's
not doing anything. And that person's not going to come back necessarily for, you know, batch number two.
Yeah, that scenario can definitely happen. And it's important for us to have efficiencies in the business so that we can continue to be there, you know. We can't make a batch of cake on a 4.5-quart mixer. Otherwise, we would have to charge, you know, like $20 for a cupcake.
A lot of the people that, you know, listen to the show are members of the Handmade Beauty Network, which, by the way, is the sponsor of the show at handmadebeauty.com, and they manufacture beauty products like, you know, soaps and lotions and sugar scrubs, which by the way, is another fun thing to do with all that sugar you have over there. And they manufacture these products, and a lot of times when we're first starting out, you know, you want to take every order, and everybody that comes along, no matter what they're asking for, you want to please them. But maintaining that focus is what really, in the long term, gets you to have the most opportunities that you can take advantage of.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I agree with you completely.
So I would imagine maybe you found an opportunity, you know, with your U Street business associates to refer the people asking for vegan or something that you don't sell to another place, and then maybe those businesses do the same for you?
Yeah, and I do that all the time. Sticky Fingers is the bakery. It's right around the corner on 18th Street. They're great, very friendly, and we have a good rapport, you know.
Uh-huh.
We do referrals, and we also talk about things behind the counter, you know, behind the intake shop and how you run your business, what kind of point-of-sale system do you use, things like that.
All right, so your networking helps you share that information. And is there like a chamber of commerce that you belong to in the U Street area?
Not in the U Street area. We belong to the Silver Spring Chamber of Commerce.
Okay.
So we're networking there. That's right around the corner from our new store in Silver Spring.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about that a little bit, Warren, because you have done a fabulous thing for two separate areas of this particular community.
Mm-hmm.
You went into the U Street corridor, which for those of you who may not be from the Washington, D.C. area may not know that, you know, 30 years ago, 40 years ago, it was, well, actually 5 or 6 years ago, it was, you know, still suffering from the riots of the late 1960s. And you went in there with a handful of other businesses in a real confident way, and you set up shop in there, and you've done it again in the Silver Spring area, which for a long time was just like a ghost town. So did you find those places on purpose, or what are the synergies that you looked for when you decided where you wanted to open your very first retail location on U Street?
Well, I think that it's not just one thing. It's a long formula for the locations. I'm really happy with where we are. I think that the communities that we've landed in are very happy to have us there and to see us.
Mm-hmm.
A strong reception from the community, I think, is really important. So we try to assess that. It's difficult to do that, of course, before you arrive and before you get in there. But for U Street, you know, I've lived in the U Street area, and I've seen change. I moved here in 95, and it was not in as good shape as it is now back in 95. So a lot has happened in the last 10 years, and I think you're right. Like, things didn't really start happening again until 98 when property started to be redeveloped. There was a real hiatus on property development in the city for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Someone told me something like the small number of building permits that were issued all through the 90s up until 98.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that, you know, for me, I was looking for being in a location that was really close to where people lived.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of my friends that work downtown live up in the U Street area, Defunct Circle area.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to be in their neighborhoods. I thought the business would do best there because cake is tends to be an evening thing, you know. Mm. It tends to be something for parties. So I knew that when people would come to us, more easily if we were close to them on the weekends.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, what matters to me a lot, too, is participating in the community as much as you can,
mm-hmm.
In whatever capacity you can.
Mm-hmm.
And when I looked at U Street area, I didn't see, I don't know, I mean, it was a conscious effort on my part to do as much as I could,
mm-hmm.
but I was a small business. I thought I really wouldn't have much of an impact at all. You know, I mean, like, mm-hmm. What did I have to go on? What background did I have?
You certainly had an impact. I mean, as a native Washingtonian, you know, who was surrounded by, you know, other native Washingtonians at that time, watching what was happening down on U Street and having heard people talk about it for so long. We would just go on, and we'd go down. I remember as a small child, my father would drive my brother and I down there, and we would get our sort of, you know, education about, you know, life in the 60s from my dad, and we'd be like, oh, my goodness, look at this. You know, I mean, there were still burned-out buildings down there as little as 10 or 15 years ago, and what you and others like you have done is just such a great thing because it's repeated across the country in so many ways.
You're listening to GlobalTalkRadio.com.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Lifestyle CEO Show. I'm your host, Donna Maria, and despite our best efforts and our 100% fantastic engineers, we somehow lost power there a little bit, but we're back now, and we're going to continue our conversation with Warren Brown, owner of Cake Love and the host of the Food Network Sugar Rush. Warren, when we got cut off, we were talking a little bit about the financial issues that face small business owners. And I think I saw a short piece on your business. I think it was produced for the Food Network, maybe right before Sugar Rush started.
Yeah.
And I learned a little bit about, you know, a point in time when you were like, oh, my gosh, I can't do this financially. Can you share with us a little bit about that and how you managed to move through it?
Let's see. The financials and making it all come together. We... you know, financing is a big part of the whole game, and the bank that I work with has helped me a lot. But when I opened up Love Cafe, I just underestimated how much capital I would need in the beginning to do the build out of the location. So I kind of had a cash crunch that the bakery wasn't able to sustain through the first couple of months of the cafe being open. And it wasn't so much that, I mean, it was, yes, that there was a lot of cost, but we got hit by bad timing with the onset of the Atkins diet.
Okay, so this was after the first bakery opened, Cake Love, and you had just opened Love Cafe.
Right, so we're in like the fall, deep falls, November, December of 2003, and our sales
mm-hmm.
really went down. And I think it's mostly due to the Atkins diet. It was very popular, had a lot of press, people were interested in it. The diet has a lot of, it's got the ability to shrink off a lot of pounds really fast, too.
Mm-hmm.
I think most people that go on it, I think, end up, you know, gaining it back. I know that I tried a diet where I'm eating a lot of protein and a lot of carbs, and I think that it's great to get exercise. I think it's great to have a moderate diet all the time, regardless if you're eating Cake Love or
right.
not.
And you actually trace the financial decrease to that particular issue.
I think so, because we had, our sales dropped by like 40% in November and December, and in January is always one of our lowest months of the year in terms of sales. But by February, things had bounced back to normal.
Mm-hmm. Good. But in the meantime, did you have a situation where you were like, okay, where is the next payroll going to come from?
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
It was a lot of creative financing that had to happen really fast. So it was,
when I listened to the story, I just was so impressed by, you know, you still continue to pursue what you felt it was that you were supposed to be doing. And
I won't throw in the towel. I'm not going to do that. No. I mean, someone's going to have to rip it from my hands.
Yeah, that's a really good way to say it, and probably a really good tip for any entrepreneur out there, no matter what kind of business you have, is that, you know, situations will come along, whether it's financial or, you know, somebody says something bad about you in the media or you know, just mm-hmm. any kind of life situation that can come along and impact your bottom line.
I think the way to look at it, especially in the get-go when it's bad, is that you have to just keep in mind it's going to get worse before it gets better.
It does.
It can.
But when it gets better, it really gets better. So
when it gets better, you have to enjoy the moment. You have to relish it. You have to respect it and honor it. You have to plan for it, and when it happens, know what you're going to do. You know,
speaking of being in a position to take advantage of an opportunity, there's a woman named Oprah who came calling one day. Tell us about that.
That was great. I was. Someone gave me a call from the bakery saying Oprah Winfrey Show had called. Here's the number. And I called right away.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I called right away, of course. And they asked me if I would be interested in possibly being on the show. I said, heck yeah, let's go.
Yeah.
So they found me. Yeah, they found me because they were planning on doing a show called What Should I Do With My Life? People in Transition from One Thing to Another. And they found my story. They found it interesting. They found it, like, through other press, and wanted to know if I would be interested in being on. And, you know, that's obviously something you don't say no to, and
right.
it was a pleasure to be on the show, too. So I really looked forward to it. We shipped 340 Crunchy Feet there, including the Sassy, which is one of my favorites.
Uh-huh.
Crunchy Feet are little pound cakes. I was interviewed on the show. They did a video piece with me in it and played that, and then Oprah asked me a couple questions on stage, and it was a wonderful feeling because I felt validated a lot for what I had done just by being a guest on her show. I felt incredibly proud of what I had accomplished and the people that I work with in terms of what we were able to do together as a team. I felt especially excited because I knew that the future would be good with what was happening. And I was
nice little bit of encouragement there.
Yeah. You know, I mean, and sales jumped and stayed up, and we've been able to build off of that. And that happened 3 years ago. And we're still, you know, building off of that. So it's a wonderful platform that Oprah Winfrey is able to provide for people who are guests on her show.
Yeah, awesome. Well, she says that everybody has a story, and it's just so great, you know, that she found yours, and that it's. You know, it's not, in many ways, I know there's a lot of people who just say, well, you know, I could never do that. And, of course, you never know until you try, but if you've got a desire and a passion, you'll never do it unless you actually step out there and give it a shot.
Yeah, you have to try because, you won't, it's like, you know, I used to play sports as a kid in basketball one time. We were playing a game, and the coach called a timeout. We didn't really even know why. We weren't doing anything wrong. We didn't think, at least. He called us over and said, you guys aren't shooting the ball. You know? He's like, you're not going to score any points if you don't even shoot at the basket. You can't just pass it around.
Right.
So, you know, you got to shoot. You got to go at bat. You got to try. You might not hit it. You might not succeed, but you have got to try. And it doesn't mean just get up there and blindly do anything. You know, you got to make a plan. You got to assess whether or not it's got a chance at working, which means just talking to people. You know, people are the best feedback sources for whether or not something will work. But when it comes down to it, I strongly encourage people just to try, because something will work. And most likely, when your heart's in it and you have got good feedback and it's good, it's going to work. Sometimes it takes time for people to catch on to what it is, especially if it's innovative and just different or hard to, like, you know, get to and stuff. But it can work.
Well, and what you're describing, too, is you've got, I mean, of course, you know, there's everybody's mother or father have some kind of cake recipe, and everybody's got cookbooks, and everybody's got, you know, packaged cake mixes that you can buy, and there's lots of restaurants where you can go to buy whatever you want. And so what you're describing, too, is also creating something that's, you know, it's cake, but it's like cake with the Warren Brown spin on it. There's uniqueness in your product that can't be found anywhere else. And that's really important, too, don't you think?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's got to be something that's a distinguishing factor to the business or service that one provides. You know, it's got to be better. It's got to be less expensive. You know, that's one of the ways that people say you can do a business, make it cheaper or just make it better.
Make it better.
I was interested in making it better. And
yeah, it's a lot more fun.
yeah. Because
make it better and you can still, you know, generate enough the revenue that you'd like.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you have to charge accordingly. If you're in business, you're not in business, I mean, unless you're a nonprofit, you're in business to make sure that you can stay in business. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, there's nothing wrong with making a profit on a product or service that's actually quality and good. Nothing wrong with that at all. And people do it all over the place. So for those entrepreneurs that are budding, that are out there, that want to be one, you know, some people I think feel guilty about charging for what they're doing. You can't feel that. I mean, you can't succumb to that, you know. No one's asking you to do that.
I'm so glad you said that. And that's probably the best piece of advice ever. And I thank you for offering that. It's one of the last things we'll be able to get to today. Unfortunately, we are out of time, but I want to remind everyone that Warren Brown's show, The Sugar Rush, airs on the Food Network. In fact, there's a show this Wednesday night called Fruit Sensations at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time, and Warren's going to be dealing with apple cobbler, I think, in that
right
episode.
On. Yeah, it's one of my favorites.
So look forward to that, everyone. Visit his website at cakelove.com. And head on over to the Food Network and also learn more about his shows and get some of his recipes for free there at foodnetwork.com. Thanks for joining us today. I hope you'll tune in the future. Next week, we've got a great story, a businesswoman who started a business just from having fitness classes in her neighborhood. And today, she's successful with her Stroller Strides brand of franchise fitness classes and branded merchandise, and it's really exciting. The owner of Stroller Strides will be here next week, and we've got some other great guests coming up as well. Warren, thanks for joining us. I know everybody's going to go get a taste of some of those delicious treats that you have over there. Visit his website at cakelove.com. And in the meantime, you guys get out there and break all the rules, build your own corporate ladder, and create the life you love. This is Donna Maria signing off for the week. Have a good one.
You're listening to GlobalTalkRadio.com.